So, last week, the question of faith came up. And so today I'm going to talk about faith in our tradition. And there's a lot to say about it, so I'm just going to say some today. And perhaps more another time. So, of course, the first question we ask is, what do we mean by faith? We can sometimes think of it the same as belief or hope and opposed to doubt, right? But that's not accurate. So first let's talk about belief. We can understand belief as a conceptual or emotional structure or structures that we come up with to explain our reality. It's not a problem. It's not a problem to have beliefs. It's, in fact, I think it's useful. You know, I believe that the sun's going to come up in the morning, or I believe you when you say you're going to meet me on the corner of Pacific and Walnut at 2 o'clock, or I think certain kinds of structures for our communities are good. These are all useful, as long as we don't cling to them, go to war over them, hang on to them beyond their usefulness. So we have a belief about the way things are, based on our best evidence, and we act on that, as long as our actions are wholesome and not harmful to self or others. It's a good thing. It is a way we manage our lives. But we must hold these beliefs lightly, humbly, like a good scientist, always willing to be wrong. Then belief is in the service of life. With the spirit, also, there's no problem with doubt. We keep an open mind. We are curious and connected to the reality around us and within us. In this way, doubt serves the development of a vibrant, mature life and practice. To doubt is to be alive, to question deeply, honestly, fearlessly. In a sense, what have you got to lose? I mean, you know, the only thing you have to lose is the idiocy we sometimes live by, the false notions we sometimes cling to. So, why not? Why not doubt deeply? We have to be aware that this kind of doubt is not corrosive doubt. Corrosive doubt is undermining. It eats away at our energy and our spirit, our ability to live out the wisdom that is in our lives. It is the voice of delusion. It's often cruel, naysaying, everything, or at least many things. This kind of doubt is deeply undermining, and I like to say it must be dealt with firmly. Firmly. Healthy or honest doubt asks, is that so? You know, always, is that so? This is Hakuin's question, but that's another lecture. Respectfully investigating how the teachings actually work in our lives. The Buddha was a great fan of honest doubt, telling us we shouldn't believe something just because somebody tells us, no matter who it is, but we should investigate for ourselves, make real what we hear. Is this so? Is this so in my life? This is the opposite of blind faith. It is a fuel for genuinely living out what is most true for us. It's realizing the teachings or our wisdom for ourselves. There's another aspect of doubt in Zen referred to as great doubt. Great doubt is a doubt, the question that says, what is this life about anyway? This is like tackling the deepest questions. What is it that is most dear to me? What is this life? What is suffering? What is liberation? Great doubt brings great faith alive. Honest doubt makes it real in our lives. So in Zen we often talk about great doubt, great faith, and it's combined with great courage. So these are kind of the pillars of our lives. So then we come back to what is faith? We can think of faith as the start of the path in a way. We have to have some sense that this is worth bothering with. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. If we don't believe in awakening, realization has some relationship to us, we won't even take a step. Dogen Zenji says in Gakudo Yojinshu, those who have faith in the way should know for certain that they are unfailingly in the way from the very beginning. From the very beginning. So that's a pretty radical statement, isn't it? How do you know that you're in the way from the very beginning? This is a sense of one's inner ability to, as Stephen Batchelor says, faith is following the path of doubt to the end. So we have some sense, oh, this has some relationship to me. This isn't just some abstract notion for those other people, you know, the ones that are holy and always calm, and you know those people? I don't know where they live, but it's not anywhere around me. Sharon Salzberg has written much about stages of faith. She's a wonderful insight meditation teacher. And her perspective is that of the early teachings. She says the first dimension is bright faith, a faith that arises when we discover the practice or rediscover it. She describes it as akin to falling in love. You know, you have that feeling like, oh, this is so cool. I like this. I think this might have some relationship to me. So there's a sense of being filled with beauty or possibility or potential. And as we practice, we develop what she calls verified faith. With honest doubt and with living our practice day by day, in the details of our lives, we develop a deep and genuine sense that there is richness and truth here. This isn't just some cockeyed story somebody made up. It actually has meaning. We don't, again, don't believe this because somebody told us. We actually test it out, verify it in our experience. This is a maturing of faith. Over time, verified faith becomes, as she says, unwavering faith, a deep and constant in-your-bones experience that the teachings have real meaning for you, that they're to be relied on fully. They're a refuge. They're a ground. So we talk about these different aspects of faith. We use our capacity to think, to understand and examine faith. And we take seriously our doubt. What form is our doubt? Is it corrosive? Does it keep us real and down to earth? Does it push us deeper into investigating our lives, our world, understanding what is most important to us? What are the nature of our beliefs? How flexible are they? How humble are we? These are excellent questions to ask ourselves as we regard faith. But there's another dimension. In its deepest sense, faith occurs outside our ability to define it. Faith is a growing awareness of our interconnectedness in the deepest possible way. It is far more than coming to see how a path has changed us in ways we approve of, or brought us closer to our ideal, or confirmed our beliefs. The reality of our lives, who we are, is so immense, so immeasurable. How can we contain it in a conceptual understanding? Faith in this way is not contained by any schema. If we follow the path of doubt to the end, which is endless, by the way, we are engaged in a process of turning who we think we are inside out in a way. This is why definitions of bright or verified or unwavering faith, at least as I've learned them, are excellent. I really want you to consider them. But I think they don't go far enough. Each is a description of the teachings made real, how they become a part of us, the base of our lives. This is really fine. It's good. It's necessary. But when we use the teachings to reflect on this, we come up with the question, who is this I that has faith? There's this I that has this thing called faith. What is that? What is that? In the Awakening of Faith in the Mahayana, this is a really wonderful text. The title actually means arousal of faith in the interdependent nature of reality. Right? Not in a teaching per se, but in reality itself. This opens up a whole another way of engaging with what we mean by faith. When we consider that the self is not separate from this living reality. Are you with me? Does this make sense? Yeah. Our struggles, our cockeyed ways of living that cause us suffering come to be because we do not realize that we are this interdependent reality. So we come back to it again and again and again. There was an early text called I'm probably slaughtering this because I'm not very good at Pali, but the Milanda Panha. In English, the Questions of King Milinda. In it, this monk, Nagasena, states that faith is like a miraculous water-clearing gem that clears the mind and heart of all obscurations. Like a gem put into a glass of muddy water that causes the mud to settle to the bottom of the glass and makes the water clear. Right? So when we bring faith into our life, it clarifies. All obscurations fade, and there is this clean, pure, crystal clear water. So, I think this is great, right? But what happens when you look at your life and what you see is a muddy mess, right? Can you say, I guess I don't have enough faith? I'm supposed to have this thing. And if I have enough of it, everything's going to be clear. Right? So, What does faith then mean? Kosho Uchiyama Roshi, really wonderful teacher, does this really interesting thing, which I won't go into, but he takes the two characters in Japanese that are both pronounced shin, and one means faith, and one means heart-mind. And he does this thing. Are you having trouble hearing me?
One means faith and one means...
heart-mind. So it's, you know, like Zen mind, beginner's mind.
Right.
That's shin. It's usually translated as mind. The problem with that, it's got to be translated as something. The problem with that is that we can think it's what's between our ears. But actually, it's heart-mind. It's consciousness. It's not just your thoughts. Mind is not just your thoughts. That's sheen. Okay? He states that faith, sheen, is the process of clarifying the heart-mind, sheen. It is an activity. It is a verb. Faith can make the mud sink. It's true. But faith is also the process of clarification. This is our way of practice. We do not cultivate faith to have crystal clear water. We live in a world as it is. This is very much about Zen practice. We live in this world, not another world, with this mind, not another mind, with these messy relationships, not something else. We cultivate faith so that we understand ourselves as a process of living, muddy water and all. Shin, faith, is the activity of the heart mind that knows itself to be simply what is and acts in compassionate concert with all of it. This is liberation. Not from the world, but to the world. This is the day-to-day reality of faith expressed in our activities. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Great Master Linchi Rinzai wrote and spoke of confidence, jishin. Ji means self, and shin means faith or trust. The ji of this character is not the self that experiences self as separate, that has something. It is a self that knows itself to be the expression of this living reality, this living interdependent reality. According to this understanding, when we know this self, faith is a living and direct reality. Not faith in something, but faith as something. Dogen says in Gakkado Yojinshu, faith is so called when the entire body becomes faith itself. Koshin jishin. There's a logic to this, okay? So I'm going to go through the logic. Are you with me still? It's a little complicated. It's like, you know, kind of like acrobatics. So this is the logic. With gentle, flexible, honest faith that grows as we practice this way of meditation and compassionate activity, we encounter life. We know our limitations, we know our humanness, and we do not need to be other. We don't need to be more. We don't run away from this. With humility, kindness, and courage, we open to this reality. We welcome it. We cultivate ways, each in our own way, what suits us, to do this, to return to this, to engage in this activity. We grow in our capacity to be willing and able to know fully that we are this moment. All of it. Including the self that we are. And how could we not include it? I mean, is there another self someplace else? You know, our evil twin, perhaps, or our good twin? There's this. No, it's just this one. There's no separate being outside this moment. There's no need for anything flashy, though flashy sometimes happens. It's simple. With this posture, this way of being, we know ourselves to be the activity of kindness, openness, and courage. Do you see what I mean? It's an activity. It's a posture. It's a movement. We are this. We are the moment of openness, flexibility, and compassion. And that is completely trustworthy. This is possible anywhere, anytime. It is the activity of faith. It's the expression of Jishin, confidence. And it's the inkling, or maybe sometimes the full realization, that we are of the way from the very beginning. In that moment, the entire body becomes faith itself. So we cultivate this mind of faith, this aspiration for enlightenment, kindness, fullness. We cultivate honest doubt, great doubt, flexibility and gentleness, and steady, strong devotion. Again, this is not faith in something. This is the activity of faith, the body of faith that verifies itself in our lives. At the root, really, we are faith. We just often don't see it. Kyogen Carlson Roshi spoke of our relationship to faith in terms of our experience of gravity. He said, we walk in gravity, we move in it, we live in it, we are always responding to it, we deeply know it, yet we rarely think about it. The same is true for the interconnected, impermanent, dynamic reality of our lives. He said, we are like fish in the ocean. We swim in the reality of our true nature, and we are never separate from it from the beginning. Isn't that kind of like challenging? Does anybody else think that's challenging sometimes? No? Yeah? How about you guys? Yeah. So we don't solve this question by gaining some, dig around and find some big fat gem that we're going to plunk into our lives. We engage with this question by engaging with our life. There's as most of you know, I teach at a place where I have a lot of connections with people from other faiths. A wonderful gift, because there's wisdom everywhere. And so I'm going to share with you a couple of relevant statements. The first is by James Fowler, a wonderful Christian author and theologian, who says, faith is a person's way of moving into the force field of life. A person's way of moving into the force field of life. I say it's an expression of our ultimate concern. Or, as Suzuki Roshi put it, our inmost request. It comes forth when we give our lives to this living process, this vow. Another Christian theologian, Frederick Buchner, put it, when we give ourselves to the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Isn't that nice? The place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Faith in this way of understanding does not require you to be a certain way It does not require you to believe anything. It does not require you to cut off doubt or questions. In fact, it asks you to ask questions deeply and thoroughly, to investigate for yourself, as the Buddha said. This is quite ordinary. Day to day, we say, what are we doing? Can we include it all with a kind and honest heart and mind? All of it? Can we remember ourselves? We are, in the deepest sense. Become that which can include all, with a kind and fiercely open heart. And in that way, become the kindness and courage that acts with all beings. In that way, we do become the body and breath of faith and enactment of Dogen Zenji's way. Dogen Zenji said, there is a simple way to become a Buddha. This is what we chanted this morning. There's a simple way to become a Buddha. It's simple. When you refrain from unwholesome actions, are not attached to birth and death, and are compassionate toward all sentient beings, respectful of seniors and kind of juniors, not excluding or desiring anything, with no designing thoughts or worries, you will be called a Buddha. Do not seek anything else. Simple. Right? So he says this is simple. In a way, it is simple. But sometimes we think simple is easy. Right? Oh, it's simple. You know. There are many things that are simple. But if we think about them, they're not easy. They're challenging. He says that it's simple because it is the essence of the practice. Every single time you make the effort to live in this way, you become that way of living. You are in the moment, in the activity. You are the activity. A kind and vital commitment to a way of life that is liberating. Successful or unsuccessful, what matters is that you have aligned yourself with the way. You are enacting your intention, your wisdom, your kind, steady, day-by-day effort. You are that, and you come to know that, and that is the body and breath of faith. On the cushion, in the grocery store, with your aging parent or your cranky child. Not because you are perfect, or see you with perfect clarity, but because you are entrusting your life to this activity of returning to what is life-giving. That is faith, and that is transformation. The self is transformed over time, it is true. Suffering eases, relationships become more calm, then maybe not. Your mind and heart are more calm. Wisdom grows. All this is true. But you do not make the shift to become anything in particular. There are no guarantees and there's no endpoint. I'm sorry to tell you. Liberation is in the doing. Faith is in the doing. And in community, and this is the other part I want to emphasize, in community we see and support one another to live this way. We see each other. We see each other. That is so important. We sit zazen together, we have celebrations together, we live side by side, we enact this together. So, those are some thoughts on faith today, and I welcome your questions.